From the Radio Ranch in the heart of Liberty, Texas, it's the Bombastic Blogcast for Friday, November the 8th, 2024. I'm the G-Man, Dan Gallo.
Hey, G-Man.
There yourself. Defender of the peace, keeper of the justice, purveyor of truth. The kid with the patriotic red, white, and blue eyes, and one heck of a nice guy. And since it is Hawaiian Shirt Friday, let's do the Hawaiian Shirt Friday fight song. Sing it loud and proud. Love this. Such a good song, right? Truly the sweetest sound this side of heaven. Now, let's get things started with...
The Daily Datagram.
You got it. Words of wisdom, words of inspiration, brain droppings, or noggin nuggets. You get to make the call. Says here, everyone leaves footprints in your memory, but the ones that leave footprints in your heart are the ones you'll truly remember. Yeah, I suppose that's true, but one thing's for sure, you're not going to forget the one who left a footprint on your face.
I wouldn't do that if I were you.
Let's move along now with the so-called educational part of this big blogcast.
Twisted History.
Oh, boy.
Gather around, kids, because a lot of things happen on this day throughout history.
I know.
Some cool, some not so cool. Just the same, you need to know your Twisted History.
If you say so.
You might be quizzed.
Sure. Well, kids, it was on this day in 1895, while experimenting with electricity, William Röntgen discovered the X-ray. Clearly, everyone could see right through that. And it was on this day in 1972, the pay television network Home Box Office, or HBO, launched. And it was amazing. For the first time, you could watch a movie you saw in a theater last year at home on your TV with no commercial interruptions. And the best part was your parents paid for it.
Oh, that there was some good TV.
There's been an awful lot of forensic analysis since the election. Here we are, Friday already, and people are still poring over all the paperwork and what happened in which state, you know, that sort of thing. I think one of the surprising aspects of this election is it looks like now New Jersey is a swing state. Used to be solidly Democrat, but it's appearing to be more of a swing state. But speaking of swing states or battleground states, looks like Trump swept them. And is it the strength of Trump? Or was it the misconduct? Let's call it what it is. The misconduct of the Biden-Harris administration? I mean, face it, everything they touched turned to crap. It was like a rerun of the Jimmy Carter administration. So it's either, it's got to be a combination of all of the above, okay? It's a combination of Trump's strengths, and admittedly, a lot of things that you could chalk up to karma just happened to fall into place for that man. It certainly didn't hurt. But there was also the weakness of the Biden-Harris administration. And then the anger of the American people trying to make it through each week buying groceries, paying the rent, or paying the house note. Maybe there's a car note involved. And, you know, if the current condition of the automotive industry isn't an indicator, I don't know what is. Nobody's buying cars. Have you priced cars lately? And then, of course, you have the push on the part of the Biden-Harris administration to force everybody into EVs. Everybody's going to have an EV by 2035. Well, that's complete bullcorn. There's no way that you can enforce something like that. And something like that, I think, would eventually create a rebellion among the American people. They can't afford these expensive cars. They're too expensive to maintain. Nobody can afford $20,000 to replace a battery on an EV. Plus, they're an environmental nightmare. You're trading smog for poisoning the earth. So, you know, poisoning the soil. So what way would you rather have it? And then there's the reliability issue. I don't know that the incidence of fires among EVs has become that serious. It's not that frequent. It really doesn't happen that often. And I'm not defending EVs. I mean, if you want an EV, knock yourself out. Go pay the extra money, buy one, plug it in, and just drive around to your heart's content. But how you handle what they call recharging anxiety, that's up to you. I couldn't do it. I'm a guy who drives with one of his eyes on the gas gauge just to make sure that I don't run out of fuel. I start looking early enough. And I got all these backup systems now because I have one of these cars that's, you know, it's not a new car, but it's not an old car either. I mean, I have an idiot light in addition to my gas gauge. I have an idiot light that tells, hey, you better start looking for gas. I've also got a device on the dash that tells me how many miles I can expect to get before I really, really, really need to fill up. So it's just a situation of self-inflicted wounds that created this record turnout for Donald Trump. Because he already had a track record. And our memories aren't that bad that we don't remember how well he performed for us in his first term. So there should be no great mysteries as to why the election turned out the way it did. And I think the only thing that I have to say for that is, thank God. I really mean it. I mean, if you don't see the hand of God at work here, there's something really, really wrong. I mean, Donald Trump taking that bullet in Butler, Pennsylvania on July 13th, wow. And then there was another attempt, although no shots were fired, at least not by an assassin. A lot of things turned out in Donald Trump's favor, but I think that it didn't happen that way all by itself. There had to be some kind of divine interference. No, let's call it intervention. Sometimes choice of words makes all the difference in the world. Let's call it what it is, divine intervention. And I really believe in it. Now, we Americans have to support this president. So, let's all get to work. Let's roll up our sleeves, get back to work. Let's start attending church. And if attending church isn't your thing, okay, just pray regularly. Pray without ceasing. Because you're not just praying for this country, you're praying for a world that we envisioned, a world without war, which Donald Trump truly, deeply believes in. If he didn't truly, deeply believe in a peaceful world, he never would have brought Tulsi Gabbard on board with him. And he must have really impressed her because she switched parties. She was an independent for, what, about a year there after she left the Democrat Party? And I was in favor of her remaining an independent. I thought that would have been just fine with me. Because her track record speaks for itself. She's a remarkable person. A remarkable person. And the fact that she not only joined the Trump administration, but is now a Republican, it just, wow. She sees something there that I don't, maybe. I don't know, but I trust her. And bringing Bobby Kennedy on board, too. How do you top that act? I mean, if Bobby Kennedy is truly going to do what he's been placed into the Trump administration to do, I think we're in good hands. We're in very good hands. All we have to do is show our support. And just get to work. And if your nation calls, answer the call to serve in some sort of a public service function of some sort. But the forensics that have been pouring out at kind of a slow trickle, the little forensic aspects to this election that have been trickling out since Tuesday, late Tuesday night, early Wednesday morning, are really interesting things. And this is something that's going to be probably trickling out for another couple of weeks. And then we get into the business of the transition, which, by the way, just so that you know, Donald Trump accepted Joe Biden's White House invitation for a transition meeting, or maybe series of meetings. So, this is not a volatile transition yet, I'm sure that in time, because I had been predicting a lot of violence, I'm sure that in time, the violence will surface, especially when the reality of Inauguration Day gets here. Oh, yeah. Yeah, it could get really ugly. So just be prepared. Jack Phillips, writing in the Epoch Times, says the top U.S. business leaders, including Jeff Bezos and Mark Zuckerberg, responded to Donald Trump's second presidential election victory with some saying he won decisively and fairly. Well, he must have, because by Wednesday morning, we already knew the results of the election. And some of us, myself included, had predicted that we wouldn't know in probably another couple of weeks. So, yeah, that was a pretty solid election. Now, Zuckerberg, the Meta CEO, wrote on social media Wednesday, offering his congratulations to Trump on a decisive victory, adding that the United States has great opportunities ahead of us as a country. Looking forward to working with you and your administration, he said. And I think he's probably pretty sincere. Do you remember the reaction that Mark Zuckerberg, actually, he took to social media with his reaction to Donald Trump surviving that assassination attempt in Butler, Pennsylvania? And he said that was badass. Yeah, it was. Then there's Bezos, the founder of Amazon and owner of the Washington Post. He's owned the Washington Post since 2013 already. And he had a similar message for Trump, writing that Trump is our 45th and now 47th president who embarked on an extraordinary political comeback and decisive victory. No nation has bigger opportunities. Wishing Trump all success in leading and uniting the America we all love. Again, that was Bezos writing on X. Now, in October, Bezos wrote an op-ed for the Washington Post that explained why his paper didn't back a political candidate for the 2024 election, and he defended the decision by saying that the news outlet's endorsement would do nothing to tip the scales of an election and comes off as overly partisan for people who already distrust the media. And I thought that was an excellent point. Frankly, it irritates me when a media outlet endorses a president. That's not the media's job. Yeah, you're supposed to be a bit of a watchman on the workings of government. Local, regional, national, of course. That's one of the things that media was invented for. And when you have a country like ours, where freedom of speech is paramount to our long list of freedoms, you know, doesn't it kind of behoove us to lift the rug up and take a good close look at the dirt under the rug? And yet all of the mainstream media are still left-leaning. In some cases, you got media outlets that are more than just left-leaning. Look at MSNBC. Look at CNN, NBC. Very leftist, ABC as well. Very leftist, to the point where they will lie to you through omission to keep you from hearing the truth about our leftist politicians. So, in October, Bezos wrote that article. It didn't sit well with a lot of people who work for the Washington Post, but that's just too damn bad. Now, Sundar Pichai, the chief executive officer of Google and its parent company, Alphabet, also made note of Trump's decisive victory, and he did that in an X post as well that appeared on Wednesday. He says, "We're in a golden age of American innovation and are committed to working with his administration to help bring the benefits to everyone." And then there's Apple CEO Tim Cook, who also wrote on X, "Congratulations, President Trump, on your victory. We look forward to engaging with you and your administration to help make sure the United States continues to lead with and be fueled by ingenuity, innovation, and creativity." And there's Sam Altman, CEO of ChatGPT. You know, they're the operators of OpenAI, and he posted a similar message on social media, writing, "Congrats to President Trump. I wish for his huge success in the job." Doesn't sound particularly warm and fuzzy, does it? kind of gives me an insight as to where Sam Altman leans. But he said in a follow-up post that it is critically important that the U.S. maintains its lead in developing AI with democratic values. How about AI with safety? I would really like that. You know, there's this potential now for AI taking things over that it shouldn't, and then AI developing a mind of its own. Don't want to go there. Then there's Microsoft CEO Satya Nadella echoed the sentiment in his congratulatory message on X, saying, "Congratulations, President Trump. We're looking forward to engaging with you and your administration to drive innovation forward that creates new growth and opportunity for the United States and the world." You know, really, if you're going to take a pragmatic view, how the United States goes, so goes the world. Really. I mean, I don't believe that we should be the policemen of the world, which is why I so steadfastly stand behind people like Tucker Carlson and Tulsi Gabbard, who are calling for peace in this world. Stop this stupid war machine. The Cheneys, my God. People like that, people like John Bolton, they're insane. This thirst for war. War is not an option. Ever since Hiroshima and Nagasaki, war has not been an option. And these little conventional wars, wars of attrition that are being fought all over the world all the time. 20 years in Afghanistan? Are you serious? That was even worse than Vietnam. All right, enough of the rant. Let's go back to this because it was kind of interesting. You got Bill Gates. He has yet to issue a statement on Trump's win. Of course, Gates is a big lefty, and Gates thinks he's God. And neither Cook, Bezos, Pichai, Altman, Nadella, nor Zuckerberg made endorsements for president during the 2024 campaign. I guess that kind of shows you how smart they are. And then Dallas Mavericks owner and Vice President Kamala Harris surrogate Mark Cuban quickly congratulated Trump before the election was called in his favor. Yeah, I think Cuban realized that he's spitting his mess kit. He wrote on X early on Wednesday morning, "You won fair and square," and by the same token also extended a similar message to Tesla owner Musk. Ahead of the election, Musk had campaigned very heavily in favor of Trump in Pennsylvania, where a Cuban is originally from. As for Musk, he attended multiple rallies with Trump after endorsing him in July. Also celebrated Trump's win big time. He was very jubilant. In fact, he started celebrating before the election was called, and he attended a presidential celebration party at Trump's Mar-a-Lago residence. And Musk wrote on his X platform, he said, "The people of America gave Trump a crystal clear mandate for change tonight." So, and Bill Ackman, billionaire investor, said on X Wednesday that Trump's win on Tuesday was the biggest political comeback in history. Henry Olson, who's a columnist for the New York Post, a conservative newspaper, had an interesting op-ed that I want to read to you. He says, "For those who read my Monday essay predicting Donald Trump's epic win, the only thing less surprising than his triumph was the media's surprise that it happened. With a few exceptions, our self-appointed national elites remain utterly clueless about the nature of the nation they purport to lead. They think Americans are happy with an economy that downgrades work with your hands and overcompensates work with your mind. They think Americans want more dissolution of traditional norms, and the faster those are destroyed, the better. They think Americans want to care more about suffering people overseas than hard-pressed people at home. They think Americans are as obsessed with race and gender as they are, and America is a place that represses diversity rather than one that celebrates and enables it." And then he says, "They are wrong, 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 wrong." And you know, I'm trying to figure out why these elites are so obsessed with race. It just doesn't, I don't know, my brain won't wrap around that. So then he continues. This is Henry Olson writing in the New York Post. He says, truth self-evident. The Americans who voted for Trump don't see his victory as the end of American democracy. They see the perpetuation of the elite dominance of the country's cultural and economic lives as the repudiation of it. What part of all men are created equal don't the elite understand? And by the way, when he's talking about these elite, I think he's also including all these idiots on late night television. Kimmel among the worst. And Stephen Colbert. God, what a snobby bastard he is. So then Olson writes, he says, the American people know this promise is both self-evident and the beating heart of American life. The American people know this promise is real today, even if it remains imperfectly applied. We're fallible human beings, after all. The American people want what Americans have always wanted. A government strong enough to remove burdens they can't remove themselves and then get the heck out of the way. The American people see no contradiction between traditional norms and human liberty and diversity. They want freedom and responsibility. The American people want a government that respects all Americans' livelihoods, not one that showers favored classes with tax breaks and subsidies and overloads people who don't graduate from college with taxes, regulations, and sneering. Most of all, the American people are tired of those with high incomes and secure lives telling them their lives are inferior. All men are created equal means equal opportunity, equal treatment under the law, and equal respect. The American people know Trump, for all his faults, shares their values. And they know that for all their learning and power, the media, government, and academic classes largely don't. Trump would be wise to govern firmly, but not obtusely. Keep his promises and fight his enemies, but recognize that many who oppose him today can become allies tomorrow. America's greatest presidents, Jefferson, Lincoln, Franklin Roosevelt, Reagan, understood this. They all turned a minority party into a force that dominated American politics for decades after they left office. Trump and his vice president-elect, J.D. Vance, have the opportunity to usher in a fifth great realignment, one that'll take the new Republican plurality among voters, the first since 1932, and make it a new American majority. The renewal of the American dream, the restoration of American power, the repairing of our national divide. All of this is possible now because the American people kept the faith with America and rejected the siren song of pedigreed aristocrats on Wall Street in ivory towers, Hollywood, and the legacy media. Freedom, responsibility, equality, opportunity. What a wonderful time to be alive in the greatest country in the world. I thought this was kind of funny. Seven-time Cy Young winning pitcher Roger Clemens, who spent a lot of his career with the New York Yankees, but he also played for the Astros here in Houston, and he's a Houstonian. He celebrated Trump's election victory with a very stern message for those who threatened to leave the country if Trump won a second term. And he said, whoever said I'm leaving America if Trump wins, don't let the door hit you in the ass on the way out. Well, Clemens is retired. He's 62 years old, getting cranky in his old age. I love it. And he fired off in a post on X after Trump was named the winner. And he also posted that the win was massive for our great country and praised Tesla CEO Elon Musk, Vice President-elect J.D. Vance, and the people. It was really pretty nice the way he put this together. He says, I'm most proud of the people. We did it. I like that. You know, he's an 11-time All-Star pitcher. And he lives over on Houston's in the area, I think it's called, Memorial. He lives in the Memorial area of Houston. It's a huge area. Nothing but mansions out there. Beautiful wooded area of town. Probably one of the most beautiful places on the planet. And I don't know if you know this or not, but he was encouraged to run for Congress in 2019 as a Republican. And he was, of course, he would have run representing Texas. He previously made it clear that he felt the title that comes with the Oval Office should outweigh any animosity for whoever is serving as Commander-in-Chief. Yeah, in a perfect world, Roger, but that's not the way we're made. But he said, I'm a Republican and I support our president and will continue to do so. No matter who our president may be, I'll continue my support of them and root for them to be successful just as I did when President Obama was in office. Yeah, you know, that's one thing I always do. I root for their success. But when they're constantly in the Oval Office, screwing up day after day after day, it's hard to support them. I could not support Joe Biden. I couldn't support him any more than I could support Jimmy Carter. When you have a president who's in office and everything they touch turns to crap, don't ask me to support them. I would rather channel that energy into supporting someone who could beat them in the next election. But anyhow, during Trump's first run for the Oval Office, he had celebrities and vocal Trump critics like Whoopi Goldberg, Amy Schumer, remember her? Samuel L. Jackson and Bryan Cranston said they would run from the U.S. They would leave the country if he won. But the public and media called a lot of them out after Trump was elected back as the 45th president. With all the backtracking, their threats and choosing, it came like a constant barrage. Some of them just shut up and stayed put in Hollywood. Now, Bravo honcho Andy Cohen, actress Christina Applegate, rapper Cardi B, and of course, creepy author Stephen King, took to social media to let their fans know how angry they were that Trump secured the presidency over Harris, but none of them said they would leave the United States. If you're unhappy with the results of the election, okay, I'll give you that. But don't say that you're going to leave and then not leave. So throughout Trump's time out of office since 2020, some celebrities have become more vocal about supporting him. You know, you got your Elon Musk, Amber Rose, that was a surprise to me, Zachary Levi, and Brittany Mahomes have all outright shown or expressed support for Trump over the months leading up to this election. Pretty exciting stuff. Let's head on over to the Comedy Corner and Cam Bertrand.
I hate my best friend. He's stupid. I don't like him. You ever been friends with somebody that you don't want to be friends with anymore, but they're just grandfathered in? You know what I mean? Like, you want to fire him, but he's got tenure, and you're like, oh, man. So I can't get rid of him. He knew me back when I had braces and wore JNCO jeans. He knows too much. He knew me when I purchased an Aaron Carter CD. I can't stop being his friend now. He keeps my secrets. We get into a lot of dumb arguments. Arguments that don't matter. Things that shouldn't happen. Right? One of the dumbest arguments we ever got into was we were watching a basketball game, and in the third quarter, LeBron James had missed a dunk. He looked over at me, and he goes, LeBron James sucks. I don't know how much you all know about LeBron James, but LeBron James got drafted out of high school at 17 years old. He was the number one overall pick in the NBA draft. He signed a $95 million contract with Nike. Three-time NBA champion, four-time league MVP, youngest player to score 35,000 points ever. My friend Daryl has failed his driver's test four times. Four whole times. Daryl sucks, okay? Yeah. Yep. I didn't even know you got to take the test four times. I thought after you failed the second time, they were like, hey, you know what? Here's a $50 Uber credit. You don't get to drive anymore. You're a danger to society. He's a dummy. He asks me questions all the time that make me reevaluate my friendship with him. Does that ever happen to you where you're like, how bad do I need you in my life? Where you just gotta weigh the pros and cons? This is what he asked me most recently. He goes, Cam, we're friends, right? I was like, of course we're friends. He goes, would you take a bullet for me? I was like, from a gun? Are there bullets I'm unaware of? First of all, you're overly confident in my ability to take a bullet. I'm built like drywall. Whoever's behind me is still gonna die. I'm not taking anything. Like shooting a ghost.
Have a great weekend. Thanks for listening. We'll catch you on Monday's Bombastic Blogcast. Remember, no such thing as spare change, free lunch, or too much horsepower. And be sure to take some time today just to thank the good Lord that you're an American.
You mean that's it?